Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's message on Luke 23, verse 46, Christ's powerful dying last word. In this message, which was originally preached on Good Friday, Dr. Beakey has already spoken of Christ's words in which he commends his spirit into the Father's care as a powerful commendation, quotation, and instruction for us. Now, in the second part of the message, Dr. Beakey will speak of Christ's powerful action and powerful acclamation. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart full of faith in Jesus Christ.
There's not only a powerful commendation and quotation and instruction here, but a powerful action. He yielded up the ghost, his spirit, his life. Now, what this is saying is this: death did not take him, but he voluntarily took death. Some of you, nurses or doctors, you've seen many people die. I've seen a number of people die as well as a pastor. And if someone is just on an incline, and you see, what happens is they die and then their head falls. But Jesus laid down his head and then yielded up the ghost. You see, his death was voluntary. He went out to meet death, to conquer death. And that's evident also in the loudness of this cry. This is not a dying grasp of a victim. This is a loud cry of a Savior and a Redeemer who goes out to conquer death for his own. With a loud cry, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And thus, having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He did it. He's in control. You see, death is Christ's own action here. He's fulfilling his own word. I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again. This is a remarkable event. No one else can do it this way. It shows that he, Son of Man, is also the Son of God. His birth was unique. His life was unique. His death is also unique. He dies by an act of his own volition. Who could do that but a divine person? He is the great voluntary Savior. And so, in his hands, you are safe. In his hands, he controls your life and your death. In his hands, you are secure now and forever. In his hands, you find everything you need. Those blessed hands that were willing to suffer, willing to be bound, willing even physically to die so that you might live. In those hands, you are safe forever. You too need to cry out, "Into thy hands, O blessed Savior, blessed Father, blessed Spirit, I commend my all." And finally then, this last word of Jesus is also a powerful acclamation. The word acclamation in my dictionary is defined this way: a loud, eager expression of approval and praise signifying victory. He cries out with a loud voice, having said, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I have the victory." It's a cry of praise. It's a cry of approval to the Father who's brought him through all of this. It's a shout of anticipatory victory that death is not the end for him, but only the beginning of resurrection and ascension and life eternal in the realm of glory. You know, in olden days, when the victorious general was about to leave the field of battle, he would utter a loud cry as a token he had triumphed. And so the great captain of our salvation, as he's about to quit the battlefield of all his suffering, utters this cry of acclamation, victory through the cross. The cry that in Hebrews 2 is echoed, he in his death destroyed him who had the power of death. You see, the serpent came and nibbled, bit at his heel on Calvary, thinking he would get the victory. But even as he bit him, Jesus is crushing the head of the serpent, and he can drink the bitter cup of the wrath of God against all the sins of his people, all the hell, dear child of God, that you deserve for eternity. He drank the cup to the bottom, bitter dregs for your sake, and then cried out, "It is finished, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." It's a loud cry. It points to an ongoing victory. It points to the fact that the Son, as surety, is going home to his Father, that he's passing on his spirit on the way to exaltation. It's a cry, not of a farewell word, but a cry of, "Father, thou art carrying me onward. Thou art carrying me upward. Thou art carrying me to thyself. I am not only the dying one, but I am the living one, and I will live forever. I commend my spirit unto thee." What a glorious thing this is. Jesus is about to lay down his life. He does so in a triumphant note of victory. It's almost a prophetic death too, isn't it? It's loud because it's prophetic. Into thy hands. I know what's coming. I know it's victory. I know it's eternal resurrection. I know that Good Friday and Easter are inseparable. I know that there's an intimate connection here. I know that this is the end of my humiliation and soon will introduce me to the beginning of my exaltation. I see the connection between the cross and the crown, between the dying lamb and the living conqueror. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. What a glorious thing it is for a believer to see this connection. I mentioned in prayer what Luther said, that the two hinges on which the door of salvation swings open are the hinge of the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. You can't have one without the other. He can't be raised from the dead without dying, and he can't die without being raised from the dead, because he's the perfect Savior. And so in his death we find our life. In his life we find our daily dying, so that we are prepared to meet him through this wonderful combination of our humiliated, exalted Lord and Savior. And that combination intersects already in an anticipatory way in the last triumphant word from the cross. You know, Good Friday is a very somber feast day. And we're prone at the end of Good Friday sometimes to be a bit down. We think about what our sins have done to Jesus. And it's enough to make us sad and grieve us. And we mourn over him whom we have pierced. It's a solemn thing that my sins have crucified the Lord of glory. And yet Good Friday is also a day of joy. It's a good Friday. Anticipatory of resurrection. Anticipatory that his righteousness and his victory exceeds our sinfulness. And that's the wonder of all Christianity. Christianity Yes, is a religion that grieves over sin, but there's something above it and beyond it, gloriously beyond it. Christianity ultimately is a religion of profound joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, because our victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even on Good Friday, we see the palm branch of victory, as it were, descending upon Calvary's cross. He cries out with a loud voice, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Yes, Jesus is saying, this is not the end. This is not the end. This is a cry of faith. This is a cry of hope. This is a cry of assurance. This is a cry of trust. This is a cry of eternal security. This is a cry of victory, all into the hands of the Father, knowing there is more to come. And the best is yet to come. And so we don't need to end Good Friday on a sad note. No. When a believer dies, he may be calm. "Father, into thy hands and the hands of thy Son, I commit my spirit, knowing that my death is not the end, but only the beginning of eternity. Knowing that my life is only, as someone said, the cover and the title page. And chapter one has yet to begin. And the book shall endure to all eternity." You know, at one time, the coin in Spain was stamped with two pictures, with two pillars of Hercules, representing the great rock of Gibraltar and Mount Cutler on the Moroccan coast. And above the pillars was stamped the words, "Ne Plus Ultra." That was the motto of Spain, and it meant no more beyond, no more beyond these pillars. That was the boundary. They said there's nothing more beyond these geographical places. Until Christopher Columbus sailed beyond and discovered the New World, the Americas. And what was Spain to do? Well, Spain decided to take the word "nay" off of their coins. So the coins now read, "Plus Ultra." There is more beyond. There is more beyond. That's the beauty of the Christian life. Christians get the best of both worlds. They get true joy here that the world doesn't know anything about. But the best is yet to be. There's more beyond. And so in the midst of all the suffering and all the sickness and all the cares and all the trials and all that in this life would just wear us out and wear us down and wear us away, the Christian says, "Father, into thy hands I commend all these things, as well as myself and especially my soul, trusting there is more beyond. There's a future. There's a glorious future for the people of God. Plus ultra. Plus ultra. More beyond. A new heavens and a new earth. And we are hastening in that new heavens and that new earth, looking for that day wherein dwells righteousness." Dear congregation, are you ready for that day? Are you looking, expectant, commending, quoting, being instructed, acting? Are you full of acclamation? Are you praising the living God? Are you trusting everything to Him? When the going gets rough, when the water is cold and deep, His hand will undergird you. When the stairway of life is steep and winding, and we do not know the way, the grip of fatherly love will grasp your hand and lead you on. And so, you can run and not be weary. You can walk and not faint. in the full confidence that the same hand that has led all the way through life's maze and difficulties and sins will lead safely across and up into those eternal hills that shine in their glory on the other side. And so let Christ teach you in his last words that when troubles and trials come, that you surrender all into his hands. Do you face serious problems even tonight that you don't know how to solve? Just say to yourself, into thy hands, O God. You experience sorrow that you feel you can't bear up? Into thy hands, O Heavenly Father. You face temptation stronger than you can endure? Into thy hands. Do you face imminent death, perhaps, or disease? Into thy hands. Do you face complications? Into thy hands. Do you fear death? Into thy hands. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities nor powers, nor things past, present, or to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. All because of him who went to the cross for me and spoke that special last word on my behalf to take me up into his hands and to encourage me through his last word to say to me, child, my child, put your hand in my hand. Come, child, I will take your hand and I will lead you through every trial, every impossibility, lead you to my Father's hand, which is the safest place in all the world. For those of you who are not yet into the hands of God, you don't know what this means, do you? When you don't know what this means, you're missing the most internally strengthening comfort in all the world. And you need it. You need it whether you know it or not. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God unprepared. My friend, you must be born again. You must come to faith, to repentance, to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Don't try to save yourself. It's hopeless. Don't try to add anything to what he has done. Just ask for grace to come with all your sin, all your need, and just throw yourself upon his mercy. And say to him, I don't deserve it, but if mercy must cast me out, then mercy must do it. But I'm going to encamp my soul upon mercy. You know, there was once a farmer and a carpenter who were having a discussion together about salvation. The carpenter was asked by the farmer to make a gate, to install a gate to the farmer's home. And the carpenter brought an axe. The farmer asked him, why are you bringing an axe? You're going to destroy the gate that you're building. The carpenter said, I brought an axe for one reason. What you are trying to do when you are trying to build your salvation out of something you accomplish or some frame of mind that you know, you are taking your own axe and you are destroying the gate that God has provided for you to enter into life eternal. And God used that for the conversion of that farmer. You see, the gate is already built and the gate is open. There's nothing for you to build. There's nothing for you to do. You just have to receive the amazing gift of God and entrust your entire soul into the hands of the living God. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Amen. Great God of heaven, we thank thee so much for this amazing last word of the Son of God. And we pray that this last word may be our instruction, our comfort, and yes, may it become also our acclamation, that we may see our victory in his victory, and that we may commend ourselves into the hands of the Son of God, and by extension into the hands of his Holy Father. Lord, please help us. Help us not to be unconcerned about our own salvation, but also help us not to build our own salvation, but to fall on free and sovereign grace alone. Sheer mercy. Help us to say, with heart and soul and mind and strength, Father, into thy hands I commend my soul. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."